Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
And welcome to the Vision Church broadcast. I'm Tyson Coughlin. I'm the pastor here at Vision. And we just want to say thank you so much for tuning in to this broadcast from wherever you are. I want to welcome you into the future home of Vision Church. Right now, we're broadcasting from a construction site, so please excuse our mess, but we are transforming this space so that lives will be transformed in it. Hey, I want to encourage you, take a moment right now to hit the share button on this broadcast. I believe I have a word for you for this era in which we live, dealing with the racial tension of our world. I want to encourage you, share this. This is a word from God for all of us in America right now. Hey, before I totally jump in, let me pray over you, and then I've got one announcement, and then we'll jump into the word. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. You are a great God. You are mighty. You are holy. You are worthy of our praise. And I pray, Lord, that today that you would draw people who are hurting, people who are broken, people who are confused and frustrated. I pray that you would draw them to this broadcast today or watch it later. And I pray, Lord, that by the power of your word, that it would go forth and transform the hearts of men. Father, you are the hope of the world. This is more than just rhetoric and religion. You are a living, vibrant God who is alive and active in the world today. Change hearts. Save souls, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All the glory and the honor and the praise belongs to Jesus Christ. We're not here to entertain you or to elevate ourselves. We're here to lift Jesus high. Hey, church, real quick, before we jump into the word, I want to let you know about some really big news. A lot of you have been asking, hey, when are we going to be able to meet together again? It has been what feels like an eternity. We miss your beautiful faces. We miss you all so much. We haven't met since like the middle of March. This is craziness. But I've got good news. Next Sunday, June 14th, we are going to meet together in person at 6 p.m. at First Baptist Church of Charlotte in Uptown. First Baptist Church is the big white church right beside Metro School, so our normal location. The pastor, Pastor Robert Welch, called me up this week and he said, Pastor, he's like, I know we pastor right beside each other. He's like, I heard about CMS closing you guys out till August. He said, come on over and use our facility. I just want to take a second to just say, what an amazing man of God. Thank you to Pastor Robert. Thank you to the leadership at First Baptist Church. That is such a kingdom-minded thing to do. We love you. We honor you. Now, listen, they have two Sunday morning services, so that's why we'll be going on Sunday night at 6 p.m. But listen, don't get nervous if you're not ready to meet in person yet or you're watching from somewhere remotely. We're going to continue this broadcast. We're going to continue streaming Vision Kids at 9 a.m. and both Vision Church services at 9:30 and 11:15. So we're going to continue to stream for you guys who are not comfortable meeting together or ready yet. But for those of you who are ready to go, you've been cooped up for too long, come and let's fill that place, First Baptist Church, with the praises and the glory of God Almighty. We will be social distancing. I'm going to put out a video early next week to talk to you about what you can expect, but that is really, really good news. And we are pumped to see all of your lovely faces again. All right, now we're going to shift gears, and I want to talk to you about a message this morning titled, It Ends With You. Look at your neighbor if you got one, or in the comment section right now, and just type, it ends with you. It ends with you. This morning, we're talking about racism according to the Bible. Obviously, the climate of the world in which we live right now is tumultuous. It is tense. People are hurting and they're broken. Just in this year alone, we've seen unfathomable things online. The tragic death of Ahmaud Arbery. We saw, obviously, George Floyd. And there have been many, many more before them that the capturing of video wasn't able to record. People are upset. They're furious. People are hurting. Many are confused today. And rightfully so, we understand that. But today, in the midst of all these voices that are going on from the news networks and from your friends and from what you see on social media, the most important voice that we can listen to is the voice of God Almighty in His holy word. And I want to encourage you, those of you who are watching today, that, you know, on Sundays we read from the Bible and a lot of us are just like, oh yeah, well, that's what we do when we hear a sermon. I want to shift your thinking right now that as we approach the Word of God this morning, we are not just approaching a religious document, a historical record. I want you to see the Bible for what it is. The Bible is the literal Word of God to humanity, to creation. The Bible itself is a miracle. It's the most wonderful piece of literature the world has ever known. It's the best-selling book of all time. It is the most transformative book that the planet has ever known. The Bible, when you hold it, you're not just holding a book. You're holding an entire library every time you hold it. It has 66 books from Genesis to Revelation, written by 40 different authors, some fishermen, some tax collectors, some shepherds. They wrote it on three different continents, in three different languages, spanning 1,800 years, yet they all agree, all 40 authors, all 66 books, they agree on God's perfect plan of salvation in perfect harmony and unison that Jesus Christ is the Savior of humanity. He is the hope of the world. How else could that book be if not for the inspiration of a holy God? So today, as we approach the Word of God, we drowned out the voice of the news. We drowned out the voice on Twitter and Instagram and social, and we lean into the voice that only matters, the voice of the living God. This is His Word to all of humanity. Come on, somebody, if you're pumped with me to hear God's Word on racism. And if you don't know, racism is nothing new. We tend to think of it in a modern context. But the reality is that there has been racial tension for as long as creation has existed. And when the New Testament was written, it was at the height of some of the most fierce racial tension between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Bible, God's word, speaks eloquently and powerfully into this topic. And I can't wait to unpack it with you this morning. Now, I'm not going to preach forever today, so don't get nervous. But I have to say one more thing. Right now, people are feeling all types of ways, all right? People are angry, they're confused, they're ready to take a stand. Some are just frustrated and broken. But I want to urge you this morning that you cannot act on your feelings. You've got to act on the word of the living God. Because the truth is, our feelings, our emotions will lead us astray. The Bible warns us that the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things. Who could know it? If you follow your heart and you follow your anger and you follow your frustration, it will lead you to sin. The Bible says to anger, but don't sin. We cannot follow our emotions in this. We've got to follow the word of God, and it will lead us to healing, to peace, and to righteousness, all right? So we're going to lean in to God's holy word this morning. If you have your Bible, look with me at Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 27. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 27. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. I want you to know the first thing in the Word of God. Other people do not determine your value. Only God can. I want to say that one more time. Don't allow others to define your value. Only God can. To my brothers and sisters out here who have endured racial slurs and you've been antagonized and people have spoken horrible and awful, shameful things at you, I want to speak the word of the living God into your life today. That men and women who are filled with hate and rage and ignorance, they do not define your worth. They do not define your value. Only your Creator can define your value and your worth. And the Bible says that you were made and fashioned in the very image of God Himself. Now, a lot of times we hear that and we know that. We're like, yeah, I was made in the image of God, right? I got two legs, I got two arms, two eyes, and all that. But you're missing the bigger point here. Do you realize that nothing else in the universe, nothing else in the heavens bears the image of God? Nothing else was made in the image of God. I believe that there's ample evidence throughout Scripture that the angels stand around in awe of God's creation of you. They stand in awe, the cherubim, the angels, the seraphim, the celestial angelic beings that were fashioned in the spirit realm. They look and they gaze onto the surface of the earth, and they're in awe that God would take the mire and the clay and He would shape it and fashion the dirt into His very image and likeness. Nothing in all of heaven bears His image but you. You are the image of God Almighty. And when people attack your image, when they criticize you because of the color of your skin or because of your ethnic background, when people criticize your image, they are criticizing the very person of God Almighty. When we act out in hatred, when we act out in racism, when we believe subtle lies and stereotypical deception, when we believe that, we are assaulting the very image of a holy God in whom we were created. Don't let anyone ever devalue who you are. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. And listen, Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever you are, you bear the image of God. That's how complex He is. That's how majestic He is. When you see Him, there's so many facets to His person that He is the image of all of them. He is a great and mighty God. You bear His image. Racism ends with you. Racism and hatred ends with me. It stops with you. The next thing I want to show you about Scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. My God, did you read that? The word says that you are not only His image, but the very voice of God says that you are His masterpiece. The masterpiece of God. You are not just an afterthought. You are not just a random act. Your life is not arbitrary. You are the masterpiece of God. The New Testament goes on to describe that we will not just be the masterpiece of God on earth, but throughout the eons of eternity, 10,000 years times 10,000 years, God will point to humanity in heaven as the masterpiece of His creation, of His creative work, and He will point to humanity. This is the Bible. If you don't know, now you know. And He will point to you and I as the work of His marvelous love and grace and beauty and righteousness displayed in human form. He will point to us as the redeemed of the Lord. He will point to us throughout the ages of eternity to remind all of heaven just how much He loved us and just how great He is. And really, ultimately, it's not about us. It's about His love, His mercy, His grace, His joy, His beauty. But the word absolutely declares over you that you are the masterpiece of God Almighty. Come on, somebody, and make some noise in the comment section. Put some virtual love in there. Smash the heart button or something. Come on, respond to the word of the living God today. I'm getting hyped up in here. I got to share another verse with you. I'm just bringing you the word today. You're not tuning in to hear my opinion. You're tuning in to hear the word of the living God. And so I can't take churches and stuff that just get up here and give you a TED talk or like, you know, I mean, I'm sorry if it offends you. You're welcome. Like, we're not here to hear your opinion. We're here to hear the word of the living God, the voice of the Creator. Look at this. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Very familiar passage. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but loses his own soul? Now, rarely is this text ever used in the context of racism or racial equality. But I want you to look at what Christ and the Holy Spirit are speaking to us through this word. He's literally saying, your life is more valuable than all of the material wealth on planet Earth combined. That's how valuable your life is. George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, their lives were worth more than all of the wealth and all of the treasures of Earth combined. Your life matters. Your life is worth more than all of the sums of wealth this planet can contain. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world, but he lost his own soul? This is a connotation of your value, of your worth, how much you are worth to God, how much he loves you. My God, forgive us, Lord, for our demeaning comments. Forgive us for believing the lies of Satan that segregate and degrade one another. God, have mercy. May we begin to see ourselves the way you see us. I want to show you another powerful text in Deuteronomy chapter 10, beginning in verse 17, that shows us how God truly cares for all people, regardless of their ethnicity, nationality, or social status. I want you to watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. For the Lord your God is the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. He's the great God and the mighty and awesome God who shows no partiality. God cannot be bribed. He ensures that the orphan and the widow receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to foreigners. For you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. My God, my God. So you got to, in order for this to hit you right, the Hebrew people are looking at these foreigners coming into their territory and they're appalled. They're like, what are these foreign people doing? They're not the same nationality as us. They don't look like us. They don't talk like us. They're different from us. They're not blessed like we are. And so they begin to ostracize them. And in Deuteronomy 10, God rebukes his own people to say that I am a God who cares for all of humanity. I care for the foreigner, meaning this, that God cares about all people, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of their social status. God loves humanity. He loves this world. He does. Another truth found in the book of Revelation that also illustrates this point declares this, that in heaven, there will be every tribe, every nation, and every tongue will occupy heaven. If you don't like another brother or sister, if you have aught in your heart because of the color of their skin, I hate to break it to you, but you're not going to like heaven because it's filled with every tribe and every nation and every tongue. God loves diversity. He is a diverse God, whether you like it or not, whether it suits your heritage or not. God loves all people. They reflect his glory and they reflect his image. And by the way, while I'm here, heaven is going to be diverse. So your church ought to be as well. And I'm just going to, I said this on Thursday night at the broadcast where we had a panel discussion about racism in America and in the church. Pastors, church leaders, you say, well, my church isn't diverse. It should be. It can be. It should look like the city that you're in. It should look like the community that you're in. Give minorities a voice in your church. Get them on your stage. Let them worship. Let them preach. Let them sing. Let them speak. Give them a voice in your ministry. And as you honor that, watch God move in your life. Your church will not become diverse on accident or by you just sitting on the sideline and being apathetic. You've got to give people a voice and recognize that God loves all people. And I got to just tell this one to you too, because I'm just so hyped about this, if you can't tell. The most famous passage in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but find life everlasting. I could preach a sermon series. I could just go write a book about this one word, whosoever. I don't know about you, but I'm a whosoever. I'm glad that Jesus died on the cross for a whosoever. He didn't die for me because I was white. He didn't die for me because I was privileged. He didn't die for me because I was worthy. He didn't die for me because I was deserving. He died for the whosoever that would believe in him and call upon his name. Whosoever includes you. Type that in the comment section right now. Whosoever includes you. Now, I love the word of God. Don't you love it? It addresses this ugly, evil topic right in the face with love and with light. Now, I'm going to show you another powerful passage here. I promise I'm not going to preach forever. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. For you are all the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have believed have been united with Christ in baptism and have put on Christ like putting on new clothing. Verse 28, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I love it. I love it. The word says, and you got to feel this. In the middle of this racial tension, the New Testament church is beginning to blossom. The Apostle Paul is taking the message of the good news into the world, into the Gentiles. And as the Gentiles are being saved, as they're giving their life to Christ, they're intermingling among other Jewish believers. And there begins to be this discord, and there begins to be this tension amongst the Jews saying to the Gentiles, okay, well, now that you've accepted Christ, now you've got to take on our Jewish heritage. You've got to don't eat that, don't drink that, don't touch that. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to be all these things. And the Apostle Paul, as he sees this racial divide very early in the New Testament church, he speaks in to this racial tension of his day, which, by the way, was very much tense like we see today. And he said, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. In other words, there is no longer white or black or Hispanic or Asian. When you come into Christ, there is something that binds us that is even stronger than your race. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. When we are saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we become one family, one people purchased by the redemption of his precious blood. Now hear me. I'm not suggesting that God doesn't see your color. He doesn't see your race or your culture or heritage. That's crazy. God is not saying, well, you know, I don't see that you're male or female or Jew or Greek. That's not what he's saying. The point of this text is not that we're all bland and we're all the same. That's not what this is saying. What it's saying is that even though you may have your differences, there is now something even stronger that binds you and unites you together, and it is your faith in Christ Jesus, the Lord. Your faith should be stronger than your heritage. Your faith should be stronger than your DNA. Your faith in the finished work of Christ and his cross is a more powerful atoning work than the color of your skin. We are one in Christ Jesus, the Lord. Come on, somebody, if you see it. The word of God is alive. It's precious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Scripture declares in the book of Ephesians, that when we're born again by faith and we accept Christ, repenting of our sin, that in that moment, we become part of his family. We become heirs of Christ Jesus. The New Testament calls us brothers and sisters. That is not figurative language. Scripture is saying we in the spirit are brothers. We're family together. That's one of my favorite things about Vision Church is that no matter what age, what race, what background, we are one family. And man, you really feel it in that place. And I'm not saying Vision is a perfect church. It's not. No church is perfect. But there is a spirit of love, a spirit of unity. And I want to commend you, Vision Church, for that because you do that beautifully. You recognize that we really are a family together, you linked by the precious shed blood of Christ. But listen, church, I'm calling on you. If you believe that to be the truth, then injustice against your black brothers and sisters is injustice against you. Injustice against a white brother and sister is injustice against you. We're together. That's not a call to violence. That's a call to love, to unite, to be compassionate towards one another. We're family. I've got a little sister. I've got two sisters. I've got a brother as well. And like, they're my family. I've got cousins. They're my family. If somebody says something hateful about my family, I'm not just going to be like, you know, that's just how the world is. No, I'm going to be like, say what? No, that's wrong. I'm going to speak out against injustice because we're family. You can't hurt them without hurting me. We're together. Church, don't be indifferent. Don't be apathetic. These are your brothers. These are your sisters. Love them. Love them. Now, as I wind this sermon down, because I promised you it would be short, and you know preachers can't lie. Hey, do you know what it means when a preacher looks at his watch? Absolutely nothing. But today it means something. All right? That was free. I just did it. Okay. As I'm closing this message, I want to give you a few really critical points. How does racism and how does racial injustice, how does it stop with you? How does it end with you? I'm going to give you some practical takeaways right now. Number one, you can be part of the solution by realizing that it really does start with you. It does. You might be listening to this sermon today and you're thinking, man, I wish Johnny were tuning in this morning because, you know, Johnny really needs to hear this. You know, Johnny is a racist. He needs to hear this. You know, I'm going to send it to him. All right, well, listen, you're right. Johnny probably does need to hear it, but I'm not talking to Johnny right now. I'm talking to you. The Word of God is talking to you right now. Recognize that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It reveals the human heart, and it's talking to you. If you ask people, are you a racist? 99.999% of people are going to be like, no, I'm not a racist. Yet, truth and things have been misconstrued. They've believed lies. They've believed stereotypes. Their hearts have become hardened. They've made preconceived judgments. You don't think you're a racist, but it starts with you. It starts with me. It starts by looking at the Bible as a mirror and letting it reveal the true condition of the human heart. Revival, transformation, and racial reconciliation doesn't start in Washington. It doesn't start in Raleigh. It doesn't start in the streets of City Hall. It starts within the hearts of humankind. It starts with you. It starts with me. I want you to search your heart and ask yourself these questions. What lies have you believed about other races? What lies have you believed? What stereotypes have you bought into? Well, you know, all those people are this way. Or all those kind of people are this way. They're all the same. What stereotypes have you believed in your heart? Maybe you haven't verbalized them, but you've believed them internally. Examine your heart, Lord. Search our heart, God. Are you defensive over this message right now? Are you sitting in your couch right now and you're like, man, I wish he would just move on. I wish we would just talk about something different. I'm tired of hearing this. If you're defensive over this topic, you need to search your heart. If your brothers and sisters are experiencing injustice and pain and they're broken and you are not moved, something is wrong. Okay? If you are indifferent, if you're just like, yeah, well, it happens. and you're not willing to be a part of the solution, something is wrong. Look at your heart. It starts with you. May we repent of our indifference, repent of the lies we believed. The next way that you can make a difference right now is the Bible says to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. Feel their pain. Take a moment to listen to their heart. Don't just assume you know and understand what their life is like. The Bible says that we should, as Christian brothers and sisters, we should mourn with those who mourn. And we should rejoice with those who rejoice. And while I'm here really quickly, I want to encourage you, if you missed the Thursday night panel discussion about racism in America and racism in the church, I want to urge you to go back and watch it. In fact, we're going to re-air that conversation this Sunday night at 6 p.m. This Sunday night at 6 p.m. right here on the Vision Church Facebook page, we're going to re-air that broadcast in that panel discussion about racism in America and in the church today. It was absolutely enlightening, mind-blowing. My eyes were opened. I was repentant after hearing it, and you will be too. And I got to say this too. Mourning with those who mourn and rejoicing with those who rejoice in this topic, this is not a license to go protest. Protesting is fine. Rioting is not. And I've had some kickback on this, and people, you know, want to kick back and argue. Biblically, I cannot justify rioting, looting, and violence. I just can't do it. It's just not biblical. Jesus said, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to them the other. Jesus did not teach eye for an eye. In fact, in Matthew 5, he said, you've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But if we go eye for an eye, the whole world goes blind and nobody is truly set at ease and peace. Jesus died for his accusers. Christians, you should not be in the street burning things. You should not be breaking into businesses. That is not Christian. That is not Christ-like. And that does not honor the life and death of George Floyd or Ahmaud Arbery. It does not. Okay, peaceful protest is a beautiful thing, and we support that. We're with you. Our hearts are there. And by the way, the vast majority of protesters are doing it the right way. They're doing it in a beautiful fashion, okay? The next way that you can help is you've got to speak up. You've got to speak up. Remember what I just read to you a few moments ago. The Apostle Paul spoke up about racial injustice in the early church. The Jews and the Gentiles were at odds with each other. And now watch what happened here. Watch what happened. Paul spoke up and addressed the racism to his own people. Paul was a Jew sent to reach the Gentile. But in this particular instance, he speaks up not to the Gentile. He lifts his voice to his own demographic, and he speaks to the Jews and he rebukes them and says, there's no longer Jew or Gentile. There's no longer free or slave. There's no longer male or female. And here's the point, what scripture's showing you. When you speak up for what is right, you need to speak to your own demographic, your own background, your own culture, your own heritage. That's what Paul did. He was a Jew, and being a Jew, he called out racism amongst his own Jews, okay? Like, that is how this should work. White people, when you hear somebody say something ignorant or misinformed or evil, it is your responsibility to take a stand for those who you love, to stand for the word of God, for righteousness. They bear his image, all right? If you're a black brother or sister and you hear somebody say something evil or wrong about another race, it's your responsibility to speak up to them as well and correct them in love. And I got to say this to you too. The Bible teaches that when we speak up, that we should do so with the truth in love. They've got to go hand in hand. Truth and love, they work together. That's what Jesus did. You cannot forsake truth for love, and you can't forsake love for truth. And so many people, you know, get on their high horse and they rush to the front lines to speak for truth, but there's no love in their heart. And so their words come off harsh. and angry and bitter and vile. And then the audience turns a deaf ear to that hatred. You might be saying the right thing the wrong way, and nobody hears it, nobody learns from it, nobody grows. But you've got to speak the truth in love. And I know that it may be hard to love somebody who's ignorant. It may be hard to love somebody who's misinformed, but that is what we're called to do. We can't just love those who love us. We can't just love those who look like us, vote like us, talk like us. Jesus taught us in the Word that if you only love those who love you, you're no different than the world. The world does that. The love that I call you to is to love even your enemies. Love those who are different from you and speak the truth in love. If you're having a hard time loving your brother or your sister, pray to God and ask Him to change your heart. Say, Lord, mold my heart. Help me to love. Increase my capacity to love. But you got to speak the truth in a manner of love. Finally, don't just pretend to love your neighbor. Actually love them. This is the word of God. It says, don't pretend to love them. Don't just post the black square and then just be like, see there, I love you. You've got to actually love one another. And in our panel discussion, one of the ways that our black brothers and sisters told me that we can love them is to spend time with them, to befriend them, to take them to dinner, take them to lunch, and listen to them and hear them out. If you really love the people that are different than you, you'll listen to them. Give them a voice. And last but not least, I want to remind you that the true answer, the true antidote to ending racial strife in the church and in America is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the hope of the world. And I've got to say this to you. Please don't tune out. There was no one who experienced more injustice than Jesus Christ himself. There's no one who suffered wrongly more than Christ himself. He was wrongly accused, completely innocent, came to love the world, to enrich the world. Yet he was beaten. He was accused of being guilty without even given a fair trial. His beard was ripped from his face. A crown of thorns thrust into his skull. He was nailed through his hands and feet to a rugged cross. No one has suffered more injustice than Jesus Christ. You have an advocate. You have a mediator. You have a friend in Jesus Christ. I may not be able to understand what you felt or what pain you're experiencing right now, but you have a Savior who does. You have a Savior who mediates and intercedes on your behalf right now in heaven. He loves you. He sees you. He perceives your pain. And I need you to understand that racism is not a political issue. It is a spiritual issue within the hearts of men. You can protest, you can riot, you can go to Washington, you can do all these things, but you cannot legislate morality. It must be a heart change, a transformation, being born again. And that is the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you will turn to him, repent of your sin, he will set you free. He will change your hardened heart and give you a love and a peace and a joy that you have never known before. Will your life be perfect? Absolutely not. But he will be your strength when you are weak. He will be your guide in the darkness. He will be your shield against the arrows of the enemy. You have a Savior in Christ. I want you to pray with me right now, wherever you are. I want you to pray this, and this can't just be my words. It's got to be yours. It's got to be from your heart. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, the best way that we know how, and we repent of racism. We repent of apathy. We repent of being indifferent while injustice unfolded before our eyes. God, we repent for believing lies about our brothers and sisters. We repent for the stereotypes that we've bought into. Father, we repent for the things that we've said and for the times that we didn't speak out when we should have. Lord, have mercy. Heal our nation. Heal our church. Heal our city. And this morning we repent collectively as a people, for we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus, you are the answer. You are the hope of the world. You take away our hostility. You take away our outrage, and you fill it with peace. You fill it with tranquility. You fill it with hope. Jesus, you transform the human heart like no one else ever could. And so today, we place our trust in you, Jesus, and in your finished work on Calvary's cross, where you died in our place. Your blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sin. You died, and 3 days later were resurrected from the dead. And because you have conquered death, hell, and the grave, I too will live eternally forever. Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my past, my present, and my future. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to move forward from this place. Let racism, let sin, let evil and injustice end with me today. Lord, transform our hearts. It is in Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to encourage you right now in the comment section below, type, that was me. I prayed that prayer. I'm giving my life to Jesus. I'm coming home. Whether you're a Christian who's recommitting your life to the Lord, or whether you're coming to Jesus for the very first time, take a second right now in that comment section. Or maybe you've been a believer, but you've harbored racist thoughts and stereotypes in your mind. Type in the comment section that Christ has set you free. Today, let it end with you. We love you, Vision Church. Be blessed. I'm going to give you a new announcement early this week about the details concerning next Sunday, June 14th, where we will be back together again at First Baptist Church in Charlotte at 6 p.m. That's right beside Metro School, literally right where we used to meet. More details will follow. We love you. Be blessed. Be sure to share this message if you haven't already. Be blessed.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.